Welcome to Sex with Simmery. Frank, occasionally explicit edutainment on the most important topic of all. Sex with Simmery is not intended for children and is not safe for work unless your boss is particularly awesome. See more at sexwithsimmery.com.
Welcome to Sex with Simmery. This is Dr. Simmery, and today we are talking about getting off. Ow! Or more specifically, how to get off if right now it's not happening. So hopefully you actually don't need this. But the thing is even if this isn't the situation for you, this can be an incredibly informative topic simply because you get to know for future reference, just in case you ever do have issue, or if a partner of yours has issue, or if a friend of yours has issue. So you will be the very helpful friend who comes in and saves the day, and then they are going to owe you so big. You'll never have to worry about who's going to help me move because you know who to call. All right, so let's get started. This is actually based on a reader question. So here's the situation. This is a 33-year-old woman who recently, in the past couple of years, lost her virginity, and she describes that as being penile vaginal intercourse. She had prior to that point, she had engaged in oral sex, but lost what she determined as virginity not that long ago. She has been in many long-term relationships, including living with partners, but has never had an orgasm to her knowledge. So she is curious why that is, and maybe it's possible that in fact she already has had one and doesn't know it. So she was just asking about that. So we're going to talk about what is her problem. The technical term is anorgasmia, which is just a lack of orgasm. So there's a couple different types of anorgasmia. There's the type where you've never gotten off, which is this woman's situation. And then there's the type where it's temporary or at least based on a specific event or time frame. So you previously were able to but are currently not able to. So that would be another type. And they often have different causes. There's lots of different reasons that somebody might not be able to climax despite having been aroused and physically stimulated and very excited, but not able to actually get off. And then there's also the possibility that she's not actually getting that far, that perhaps she's not even aroused. So we need to clarify a lot of these things. So if somebody comes up to me and asks me this question, or I'm treating this person in a clinical setting, I would just have way more questions than I would have answers right on top. So if your friend comes to you with this, or if you are a person who has this issue, the first thing is to look at the situation more specifically. So I would ask this woman a lot of questions about her personal practices around self-pleasuring, around masturbation. So like about her history with masturbation. This woman has indicated that she does in fact own a vibrator. She doesn't clarify which type or how she uses it. So that would be one thing that I'd want to know more about. Because it's very possible that she is using it, but not in a way that's evidently effective. Or she's using a type that isn't really necessarily doing it for her purposes. So, for instance, a lot of people have, when they first go look for sex toys, they look for, like, a giant dong. They look for a dildo that's, like, extra shiny and purple and, you know, glow in the dark and has cool ridges and those sort of things. But that's not actually what is going to get them off. I mean, some people, that's absolutely what gets them off. They get a nice glass dildo and they're good to go. For other folks, it's going to be about clitoral stimulation. And if you're using a vibrator that is long and phallic and you're putting it inside yourself, you may never get off from that. So you would want to look into things like female anatomy in terms of understanding what parts are the most sensitive. So the clit is obviously going to be very sensitive, and that's hopefully a thing that you know where it's located. If not, I definitely suggest going to 3dvulva.com, where you can learn a lot more about female anatomy. 3dvulva.com. You can see diagrams that you can turn and flip and rotate, and you get to see what it all looks like. And you'll also see that the clit isn't just the part that emerges from the body. The clit actually extends back into the body and has legs. It has crura that go behind the labia. So it's actually much bigger than it looks. And you can enjoy a lot of stimulation on the lips as well. Behind the labia is more of the clitoris. So it's not just the little flip in the bean up in the front. There's also a whole lot more that goes into it in terms of vulva massage that can be very, very pleasurable. So you can look at some images of what all anatomy might be fun to play with and then start experimenting from there. So I would also want to know, what is the situation like when this woman sets down to take care of business? So is it, do you have an ample amount of time, or are you trying to crush it out real fast before you got to go someplace else? Do you have to keep real quiet so that you don't awaken your roommates or alert family members or something like that? Or are you really free to just relax and unwind? There's so much that goes into that. And then when you're actually sitting down, laying down, standing up, however you are, do you have like a specific goal in mind? Because if you go into a goal-oriented, you're setting yourself up. That is the first really big obstacle, actually, is the fact you have a goal. So one of the things we do with couples that we also want to talk about with individuals who are having difficulties with any sexual facet, getting aroused or orgasming or however the situation may be, is really focusing on exploring your body, not on aiming at one particular thing and trying to get a particular reaction. So I would suggest, take a long, luxurious bath or shower where you get to actually just explore and touch your miles and miles, not miles, I don't know how big you are, but like many, many feet of skin. Maybe you have miles. I don't know. Maybe I'm talking to a Leviathan. That could be interesting to sex ed to the Leviathans. Okay. So exploring all the expanses of your body and all the various places that might feel really good. And it is your body. So it's not bad to do this because you're consenting to it. It's totally okay. So you are free and allowed to do whatever you want to it, to touch it in whatever way you like, to stroke, to hit, to pinch, to squeeze, to pat. Whatever you want to do, whatever comes to mind, whatever you can create. So you can touch a wider variety of places than you currently have and get yourself into a general mind state of just exploring what feels good rather than trying to aim just to get off. So not only is that helpful for somebody who's not having orgasms, but it's also really helpful if you just feel like you're stuck in a rut and you're not feeling super inspired by your sex life, is you can explore by yourself or you can explore with your partner, just mixing it up a little bit and just playing around with what can happen when you do what, whatever. So that is a way to find out things that you didn't know you liked, either like doing or like having done to you. So I definitely recommend that. So I'd ask her more questions about how she masturbates and technical things about, does she understand what body parts usually feel good for people and what different techniques work well for people. There's no right or wrong way to masturbate, but some definitely are effective that you might not stumble on your own. One thing that a lot of women enjoy, but they may not have seen in movies, if they have been watching porn, is stimulation on the sides of the clitoris using the labia in the center to rub against the clit, because direct clit contact might be uncomfortable. Like it might be a little bit too intense. So to squeeze the two lips together with the clit in the center and to rub back and forth between the fingers, that can be incredibly pleasurable and something that you just don't see in pornography a lot. Because so much of our sex education anymore is based on what we see in porn, but porn is not necessarily meant to be educational. It's meant to be fantasy. And one of the things that's fantastical about it is that it looks like getting off is super easy. So that's one aspect. Other techniques that you might consider include rubbing up against things. So you could use an object, just rubbing against like a pillow or, something comparably sizable that you could get down onto your stomach and rub up against. So that would be another thing, just rock back and forth. That's actually how small children often learn to masturbate. So not to put that weird image in your head, but it's the idea is that they're just exploring and they're just like, oh, this feels interesting. I'm not going to stop doing this because this is pretty cool and it's better than not doing it. So I'm going to keep doing it. So you can have that same childlike mentality of just like looking around and seeing what feels good and going with it. So that's an option. So aside from what happens when you are alone, because it sounds like this woman is having difficulty alone, but not only alone, but also with partners, we can look at more things that could be causing the state. And it sounds like it's a continuous state, so there's a few more questions I would ask. So let's rule out the physical things first, just because. Let's get it out of the way. Because this is my show, and I said physical stuff first. We'll talk about mental second. When it's your show, you can pick mental first if you want to. Okay. So physical reasons that it might happen. If you're drunk a lot when you have sex, don't expect all the parts to work right because you're drunk. That's just a thing. And a lot of people have a lot of drunk sex and then they don't know what it's like to have it sober, or they need to get high before they have sex because it feels really good to be high when you have sex, but then you become like acclimated to it and you don't remember how to do it when you're sober. That's a thing I've definitely spoken to people about. And it's not to say that you shouldn't do drugs, but it might just make the experience different for you. So sobriety and general health is related to it. If you're having any sort of illness or chronic pain, that would obviously be a big obstacle to sexual pleasure. We also have the problem of selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. So that is a particular type of antidepressant. So if you're on like a Prozac or a Zoloft, you're being boistered mood-wise, which is great, but you are being hampered physically. Because one of the really big side effects of selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, which are SSRIs, is sexual side effects. So that would include lack of arousal, all the way up to inability to orgasm. So a perfect example of this is, you know, we put kids on SSRIs now as a counter to depression and that sort of thing. And never having been sexual before that, some of these kids grow up to be adults never having orgasmed because they weren't able to, because there was a medical reason that they could not. The drugs that they were on were inhibiting it. So sometimes it's helpful to switch to a different type of antidepressant. A bupropion, for instance, which is known as Wellbutrin, would be a perfect example of a drug that is an antidepressant who does not have sexual side effects. So obviously you would need to talk to a doctor about that and see if that's an option for you. So one of many possible things. Other physical reasons might include vaginismus. That would be more specifically if you were having difficulty being penetrated, if it was very painful or scary to have something go inside of you. It's kind of like an obscure thing to throw into this question because I'm guessing that's not really what the problem is, but it would be a consideration. So there's lots of physical things to consider. Like, is it difficult physically to lubricate? That could be based on a lot of different things. That you could be dehydrated, could be from antihistamines. There could be some hormonal issues. So these are reasons that you might want to talk to a doctor and have a general health checkup and just talk to your doctor about, this is what's happening to me. Can you help me figure out a solution? Because this is their job also. So if you suspect a physical cause, you might be right. Then we also have all of the mental things that could go into this. And a lot of people want to jump to that first. They want to think that it's a psychological problem. And it might be, but it doesn't mean that there's anything inherently wrong or bad about you, or that you're mentally ill or anything like that. There's just a lot of obstacles that could be in your way. So one of the really big ones, obviously, is stress and anxiety. And it could be the anxiety of not being able to feel like you're performing properly. So that could be a problem. Is if you have a lot of stress, feeling like you have to live up to a specific expectation, or you have to perform your duty sexually, that you have an obligation to someone else, that would be a problem. Also, if you are engaging in sex with a partner who gets off and then just doesn't really care if you get off, that is a huge problem. If you've never gotten off simply because nobody's put in the time and the effort, or they don't have the technique, then that is definitely not something wrong with you. That's something wrong with the interplay, the exchange that you're having, and the dynamic in the relationships. You want to make sure that you're negotiating to get your needs met as well. So you would want to talk to your partner a little bit more about giving a shit about their end of the bargain, basically. We also have a lot of issues about shame and guilt, and that can come from so many places. You could have body shame, feeling like you don't really like looking at yourself naked, or that other people wouldn't be attracted to you, or just not wanting to really acknowledge that this is your body and that it feels good and that it is yours and that it is beautiful and wonderful and sexual, and that there are lots of different types of bodies that are attractive, not just a very specific type. and not focusing on the things that you think need to be changed about it, the size of things, the shape of things, the color of things, the presence or absence of parts. So if that is an obstacle to it, that is something that you might want to work on, perhaps with a therapist or with your partner, to discuss, you know, ways that make you feel better about the body that you're in, finding a solution that makes you feel like you are good and worth loving and all of that. I often suggest exercise, which is not only going to make you feel like you look better, but you also are just going to appreciate your body for what it does rather than what it looks like, which is a really nice feeling to know all the nice things that your body does that are awesome. There's also guilt associated with sexuality that come from a lot of people's upbringings. Very commonly, people who have difficulty with sexual issues have some kind of story of a time where they really got deeply embarrassed and shamed and humiliated for being sexual. Perhaps their parents walked in on them masturbating, or they were just raised to believe that masturbation is incredibly bad and sinful and it's going to result in hell. Or that sexuality in general is bad and makes you a bad person or a perverted person or somehow otherwise flawed. So if these are facets of your upbringing or your current belief system, that could be a really big hindrance to being able to let loose. So we find that even among people who have waited to have sex until the point that they believe is okay, perhaps it's after marriage. For folks who were raised to believe that marriage is the only appropriate situation for sexuality to happen, for sexual intercourse, for instance, to happen, we find that those folks sometimes have perfectly fine sex lives, but sometimes they have really disappointing bad times because it's really hard to flip that switch to go from sex is bad, no, don't do it, sex is bad, no, don't do it, it's dirty, it's wrong, it's bad, to suddenly be able to just cultivate this beautiful, totally open relationship with somebody. Sometimes it's fine, but a lot of times there's just so much deeply ingrained habit, if there's a better word for it, just a standard practice of believing sex is bad, that when you get in there in the situation that's even is supposed to be okay, we still can't really let loose and calm down. So that could be an issue. So I'd want to know more about this person's background and history with sexuality. A history of sexual abuse would definitely cause a lot of residual trauma and a lot of concern, you know, later on about ever being able to let loose and relax and really be vulnerable in a sexual situation with someone. If you haven't adequately dealt with those things, it would be a good idea to do so. So those are some of the possible causes. Now, again, this woman has never gotten off. And for some people, the situation is that they used to be able to, but now they're not able to. So again, the same thing applies. It could be physical, or it could be mental. And the only way to know for sure is to know more about the individual circumstance. Major life changes can cause a lot of difficulty. Losing a job can be enough stress for somebody that it channels into their sexual life and they find they're unable to get erections or to maintain them or to reach orgasm. So it's not unheard of for people to totally have been able to get off very easily and then to have some sort of block. So that is, you're not alone. You're not deeply flawed. You're not broken. You're absolutely not broken. These things are fixable. So these are some questions to ask yourself, possibly talk to a doctor or counselor about to help you sort out. So my suggestion to this reader, my guess is that it's a combination of things. I'm not really sure. I would just be throwing that out there. But my first suggestion would be to try learning a little bit more about your own body in terms of reading up on the anatomy. Look at 3dvulva.com because it's awesome. It makes it look like a spaceship. It's really cool. It's awesome to see it turn and flip and rotate and see where it is in context to other organs. It's just flipping awesome. So I would suggest reading up on that a little bit more, maybe reading a little bit more about female sexual pleasure, vulva massage, different topics related to, you know, finding pleasure in ways other than the traditional, just like rub it until it blows up sort of idea. And give yourself an unlimited amount of time, or in fact, force yourself to use a full hour and a half or 2 hours or something that you set aside for nothing else. You can't sit and read. You know, you can't go on Facebook. You have to specifically focus on playing with your bits. So it's your body. You do with it what you want. And I definitely wish you the best of luck, because you totally should be able to get to experience all the awesome things that there are about being a person and having a body. So I really wish you the best of luck, and feel free to hit me up with a follow-up on how it goes, because I definitely want to know how this turns out. So thank you very much for listening, and have a good day. Thank you for listening to Sex with Timory. Please check out more from sexwithtimory.com, where Monday through Friday there's new content, including polls, weekly sex columns, and Friday sex links. And if you have any questions, comments, or violent reactions, please email them to sexwithtimory@gmail.com. That's sexwithtimare@gmail.com. And thank you.